In the history of music, we see core groups such as Ace of Base, ABBA, Digger Wolf Planets, and the Fugees. But going from the late 90s into the 2000s, there was a group that would come together to make some amazing music, and that was S Club 7. Today I'm going over their history, where they came from, and what happened in Murfreesboro 2003. And as I say, before looking forward, we have to look back. Back to November 1997, a day after he was fired by the Spice Girls, Simon Fuller has commented that he came upon the concept of S Club 7, with the new group meant as a continuation of the latter. He selected members for the group after auditioning from over 10,000 hopefuls. Rachel Stevens was the only member of the group who did not audition to gain admittance into the group. Instead, two producers for 19 Mansfield approached her and asked her to go to the studio to record a demo tape for Fuller. Joe Amaro and Paul Catmore were spotted by producers from 19 and asked to audition. After the auditions had been advertised on the stage, John Lee, Hannah Spear, Tina Barrett, and Bradley McIntosh auditioned. After some final adjustments, including the removal of three original members, the group was formed. After the final line was decided, they flew to Italy to become acquainted with each other. Speaking about this first meeting, Rachel remarked that the group felt comfortable with each other from the beginning. Several members of the group have since stated that the S in S Club 7 stands for Simon. After the group's creator, although the official line has been ambiguous, the group's entry on the Pop Justice website states that at one point they were nearly called Sugar Club instead of the name that stuck. Another theory is that the group is so named because S is the first letter of the word 7. McIntosh in December 2012 interview said that a lot of Simon Fuller's success has been based on the number 19. Therefore, as S is the 19th letter of the alphabet, the S was put into S Club 7. First coming into public attention in 1999 when they started their old series, Miami 7. The show aired on CBBC on BBC One. It was a children's sitcom based on the lives of the group who had moved to Miami for a search of fame in America. The show was also launched in the United States as well, airing on Fox Family, now known as Freeform today. It was retitled as Club 7 Miami for American audiences. The show eventually celebrated worldwide success and was watched by 90 million viewers in over 100 countries. The group also filmed two specials in the first two series of their show. The first one was Back to the 50s, which was a time travel special, and Boyfriends and Birthdays. The special where Rachel's boyfriend gave her an ultimatum of stay with him or remain with the group. Within the series and the parallel branding, each member of the group had their own character, which contained exaggerated forms of their real-life counterparts, as well as their own identifiable S-Club color. Hannah Spear, for example, had an S-Club color of yellow, which, as Hannah describes, mirrors her own interesting personality, bright and happy. U.S. media characterized S-Club 7 as the monkeys for the next generation. However, Joe Andrick, the vice president of the Fox Family Channel, stated that Miami 7 is far more relationship-driven than the monkeys, and that kids today are more sophisticated. Following the premiere of Miami 7, they released the single Bring It All Back, which was the show's theme, reaching number one on the UK charts and selling more than 6,000 copies, which made BPI certified platinum. Commenting on the chart position of Bring It All Back, the group felt nervous and on edge before they discovered they had reached number one. Once they had received the phone call for the record company, they celebrated the news with cheers, shouting, and crying. The group's success escalated, and much like Fuller's marketing campaign for the Spice Girls, they were set to become a marketable commodity. As of this, for this, Hasbro agreed upon an exclusive licensing agreement with 19 Management, which include worldwide rights in the fashion doll category. Singing S-Club 7 dolls were later released onto the market in the official magazine. Fear Club and a coming Miami 7 scrapbook were also released, furthering 19 Management's corporate aim. Over the course of the year, they enjoyed more success after the second single, S-Club Party, was entering the UK charts at number 2 and went straight to number 1 in New Zealand. Their third single was Double A-Side, featuring the ballad To a Million and You're My Number 1. The former was the first single where Omeyra took lead vocals, setting the standard for future S-Club 7 releases. The single also reached number 2 in the UK charts. Following the success of their television show and release singles, the group released S-Club in October 1999. The album quickly rose to number 2 in the UK charts and then became certified double platinum. The album consisted of various styles including Motown and salsa tracks. Due to the increasing demand for the group, with grueling schedules including spending over 13 weeks in America filming the first series of their show and their subsequent television specials, the members often felt that the traveling back and forth from the UK to the US was perhaps more tiring than what we were actually going out to America to do. Paul was commented that the speed of the schedule sometimes caused a kind of dreamscape in your head, as the group often felt jet lagged and tired. On top of the filming schedules, the group often performed at high-profile music festivals such as Party at the Park, where they performed for 100,000 fans. The intensity of the schedule would be a constant battle for the group and was going to continue to take its toll for all the years the group was together. In spite, the group always remained in solidarity that they were all good friends, cared each other a lot, and supported each other through difficult times in the group. The group won British Breakthrough Act at the 2000 Brit Awards. In April 2000, the second TV series of S-Club was LA 7. Renamed S-Club 7 in LA in the US was released. The group departed from Miami to move to Los Angeles to seek a record deal. Introduced the song Reach, another retro-style up-tempo track, which was co-written by Kathy Dennis and aired as the main theme tune to the second series. And the single was also released in May 2000, reaching number 2 in the UK charts. It was arguably becoming one of the group's most successful singles, paving the way for the group's second album, 7, which was released on June 12, 2000. And the album was departure from the overtly pop styles of S-Club, with tracks styled more towards R&B and the traditional 90s pop style on their debut album, reaching number 1 on the UK charts, becoming triple platinum and certified gold record in the US. The second single, Natural, reached number 3 in September 2000, which was featuring Rachel as the lead vocalist. Then they took an active part in promoting several charities, including Children in Need, where they performed on September 25th, 2000, and a new TV series called S-Club 7 Go Wild, which saw each band member support an endangered species, teaming up with the World Wildlife Fund. Each member traveled to different destinations worldwide with hope to raise awareness about the 7 endangered creatures, including the Siberian tiger and the hyacinth macaw. In October 2000, they launched the annual Poppy Appeal campaign with Don Thora Heard and supported Woolworth's Kids' first campaign throughout 1999 and 2000. They also recorded vocals for Zoli Rock and Roll, raising money for Children's Promise, Allies of 7 Children's Charities, Bordeaux's Children's Need, Childline, the Children's Society, Commonwealth, NCH, and the NSPCC. A cover of the Rolling Stones song. The group contributed to the vocals alongside many popular artists, Mary J. Blige, Nelly Imbruglia, and the Spice Girls, entering the UK charts at number 19. During that time, they filmed 2 specials, Artistic Differences and their Christmas special. In November 2000, they provided the official song for BBC's Children in Need campaign, The ballad, Never Had a Dream Come True, was recorded, becoming the most popular in the U.S. market, eventually taking the group to appear on TRL to perform the song. It also included on the U.S. release of Now That's What I Call Music. After this song topped the charts in the U.K. in December 2000, the song was added to a re-release of the 7 album, along with a new track covering Stevie Wonder's Lately. Never Had a Dream Come True had marked a more mature direction for the group, whilst retaining their pop sensibilities, a direction which continued into their third studio album, Sunshine. The album contained what was to become one of the most popular tracks, Don't Stop Movin'. The song was released in April 2001, marked a high point for the group as the single went straight to number one, going platinum, and became the 7th best-selling single. McIntosh, who takes lead vocals and alongside Joe in the track. Blair Lee said he was nervous about taking lead vocals and was worried how people react. However, after the song went at number one, he felt as though he was supported by the fans, as fans were oblivious. He also remarked that the song had broken new ground for the group, and Paul thought it to be their best song by miles. The group won Record of the Year for the song. In February 2002, the single won the group their 2nd Brit Award for Best British Single. The song has since been covered by The Beautiful South, and as well as Star Sailor, who recorded it for BBC Radio 1's Live Lounge. On March 20th, 2001, Paul, John, and Bradley were caught with cannabis in London's Covent Garden. They were cautioned by police at the Charing Cross Police Station and released without charge. After the event, their publicity firm Henry's House released a public apology saying they were stupid and very sorry, admitting to have made a stupid mistake. By the time, BT Cadbury, who had sponsorships with the group, said that they were very disappointed to learn the caution, but they would still keep their contracts with the brand. However, Quaker Oaks ended talks with 19 Entertainment after learning of the police caution. It was rumored that the merchandising company PS International were to take out an £8,000 lawsuit against the band for declining sales as a result of the drug scandal. However, this came to nothing, and any doubts over the future of sponsorship ended when Pepsi signed the band up in less than a month after the drug's caution. By spring 2001, the group were desperate to start touring. It was something which they had always wanted to do, because things were always so hectic. After spending most of early 2001 rehearsing, the Esco Party 2001 tour began on May 19, 2001. Describing the tour, Rachel remarked that seeing a crowd of over 13,000 fans each night coming to see them was such an unbelievable feeling. And the other members of the group shared an adrenaline rush as well as a wave of emotion before going on stage. Once the tour was over, the group had to fly back to the United States in order to film Hollywood 7. The third series, which is still set in Los Angeles, was the group's favorite to film because they had more acting experience and could drop their shoulders and start to enjoy themselves. However, had to continuously cope with intense schedules and early starts while recording for the program, something which, although the group felt laid back about all the time, was to eventually take its toll and lead to the demise of the band. Hollywood 7 began airing in September 2001 and dealt with the issue of the on-screen kiss between Hannah and Paul, who were dating back in real life. Their relationship was kept secret for 6 months and was well received by the band, who claimed it had made them all closer as friends. Hollywood 7 aired alongside a new CBC reality show as Club Search, which they created a younger version of the band. The new group were to be chosen to sing with S Club 7 on Children in Need in 2001 and go on tour with them in their S Club 7 Carnival 2002 tour. The 8 children who went on to form the band named themselves S Club Juniors and had 6 top 10 UK hits. The effects of the Cherry single Never Had a Dream Come True were felt when the group handed over £200,000 to Children in Need for the sales of the CD after the release of Don't Stop Movin' in April 2001. As a result, as the seven were invited back and asked to record another Children A single in 2001. It was decided Have You Ever was to be released for the charity campaign. After the success of the previous year's single, the performance on the night featured many primary school children who pre-recorded their own versions of the chorus, including S Club's juniors who made their first television appearance. The band felt overjoyed that they could once again contribute to the Children in Need campaign, feeling it meant a lot to them to be involved and feeling privileged to be able to help. They also commented that it was nice for British school children to be involved raising money for charity. The single was another success for the group and became their fourth number one, as well as the 21st biggest selling single of that year. In January 2002, they embarked on their second arena tour, S Club 7 Carnival 2002, which aimed to please fans by stylizing their songs to fit with the carnival-like theme with music styles from different countries of the world. Speaking about the tour, Bradley described it as an older show, a change from S Club Party 2001, which was more like bubblegum. Paul compared 2001's theoretical tour with the carnival tour as more as a glitzy concert stage. The tour was generally well received by the children's media, describing the show as diverse and dazzling. Whereas the group was criticized by the broadsheets as being like a compilation of toddler-friendly Eurovision entries. Although conceded that it was a slick, decent value show, Paul was also criticized when he was dubbed overweight and a heavy-footed dancer. After the success of their last three singles, which all made to number one, S Club failed to top the charts with their ninth single, You, reaching number two in the UK. The single was released as Candy Floss Bright, Tongue-in-Cheek 50s Pastiche was to be the last single with the group and led the way for a series of events to unravel S Club 7's time at the top of the charts, which would ultimately cause the band to split. Talking about his former musical venture 3 months before he left, Paul described his school new metal band called Skua as having a Limp Bizkit vibe, as well as compared their style to Rage Against the Machine. Camel's resignation came as Skua has decided to perform, and he found it a perfect time to make the transition back from pop to rock as S Club 7's contracts were up for renewal. Skua released their first album in October 2014, titled Neil. He stayed with the band until June 2002, featuring in 4 out of 13 episodes of the final television series Viva S Club, when they were in Italy and performing his final concert with the group at Party at the Palace, which was part of Queen Elizabeth II's Golden Jubilee celebrations. After his departure, vowing not to disband, the remaining six members stayed under the name S Club. Despite losing a member of the group, the future remained as positive, although they were very sad to see Caramel leave the group. They were delighted to have extended their contract to mean that they could look forward to new material, a new series on the television show, as well as their first feature film. However, media reports weren't so optimistic, stating that as neither the Spice Girls nor Takedown has survived once they lost a member of the group, it would be difficult to remain made together in an industry which has a horrible habit of leaving bands and tires once the first member has left. After only peaking at number 5 in the UK charts were live, their first single as 6 members was when S Club's optimism diminished. Although their progressive musical style was once again fair with the release of their 4th studio album C Double, it failed to make a comeback, stalling at number 17 on the UK charts. Their time at the charts was slowly coming to an end, and what's worse, Jo announced that she had an immobilizing back condition which could have left her in a wheelchair, leaving her unable to take part in television performances. The group was devastated. April 2003, C Double was released, directed by Nigel Dick, which was the last time the group would be seen on screen together. Unlike the predecessors, the film moved into the realm of children's fantasy and saw the group fight against evil scientist Victor Gagham in his quest to clone the world's pop star. The film release was marked by many rumors that the group were about to split, which were quickly denied by the six. However, there was also controversy where the band had to travel economy class to America and Fuller did not turn up to the premiere for the film. On April 2003, it was reported that Hannah's parents had hired lawyers to change payments owed to them by Simon and his management company. They claimed that out of the £75 million fortune the band made for Fuller, they will receive £150,000 a year of it. Rumors of how poorly they had been paid were brought to a head in an interview with Claudia Winkleman on the BBC. When asked what they had earned for being the man, the manager quickly withdrew them from the interview. Ten days after the release of their movie, rumors were confirmed that it was announced live on stage during the S Club United Tour that after the final single and greatest album, S Club 7 was split. The band cited a mutual split, expressing it was simply time to move on and face new challenges. The members of S Club had commented on how exhausting being in the band was. Due to hectic schedules and long filming days, Spirit has remarked that the group had felt it appropriate wanting to do their own thing. She had constantly felt drained while being in S Club. The fans felt betrayed and disappointed by the breakup, as well as angry due to the group denying rumors only 2 weeks before C-Double premiere. Many compared the demise of the group to that fellow pop band Steps, as they too had denied their intentions until the moment before their split. After they were accused of acting out greed cynicism, the final single was a double A-side, Couply Loving It, Gonna Wait For You, with new ballad Say Goodbye, released on May 26, 2003, reaching number 2 in the UK, beating to the top spot by R. Kelly's Ignition Remix. On June 2nd, it was released their greatest hits album, Greatest Hits of S Club. This compilation brought together the previous releases by the group, including a release track Everybody Get Pop and the track from 7, Bring the House Down. The album reached number 2 in the United Kingdom. On June 8, the group made their last appearance together on the hit show Top of the Pops. In August 2014, it was reported that the band would be reforming under the backing of Simon Phillips. Paul denied these reports the next day, but said a reunion was close to happening. On October 22nd, it was confirmed that all 7 members of the group will reunite on BBC Children in Need. The reunion aired on November 14, 2014, when S Club 7 performing S Club Party reached Bring It All Back and Don't Stop Moving. On November 17, 2014, they announced their plans for a reunion tour, probably titled Bring It All Back 2015, which toured the UK in May 2015. In March 2015, during an interview with Graham Norton, the group confirmed plans to release their greatest hits album, while re-release Best, the Greatest Hits of S Club 7, that forthcoming May, containing the previously unreleased track Rain. On April 28, 2015, it was confirmed that the reissue of the Best album will be released on May 4th and will include Rain as well as Friday Night from the S Club 7 album. And y'all probably wondering, wow, they were really popular in the noughties. Well, actually, they were not. S Club was very underrated despite their success. They never had enough recognition in the media, but despite that, they gave us some good, amazing hits. Okay, guys, that is it for me. Like I said, S Club 7 was very, very underrated. They never had enough recognition. Although they had fans and had success with their television series, they still didn't have enough popularity. But my personal favorite hit is definitely Say Goodbye. I have to give it because it's so emotional. Anyway, I hope you guys enjoyed this episode. Please make sure to follow me on my socials, which is in the bio of this podcast. And I'll catch you guys next time. Bye!